Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
As voters head to the polls today, a handful of states are deciding on whether to pass marijuana legislation that would legalize the drug for medicinal or recreational use. Michigan, Missouri, North Dakota, and Utah may join 30 other states in the United States to adopt some form of legalized pot through ballot reform measures. Kristen Tate is a columnist with The Hill. She joined Fox News and said passing marijuana initiatives seems to be a growing trend across the United States.
These kind of initiatives are very much in line with public opinion nationally on this issue. 60% of Americans support the legalization of marijuana. It's a figure that only increases every year.
Jury selection resumed today in the trial of Mexican drug lord El Chapo. A federal judge in New York dismissed 17 potential jurors, some of whom said they feared for their lives if selected. Amazon is refusing to comment on reports that it plans to split its second headquarters between a Washington, D.C. location and the Long Island City section of New York City. Reportedly, Dallas is also still a possibility. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
President Trump has hinted he'd like to work on a tax cut 2.0 plan that would be aimed again at the middle class of America. Stephen Moore is co-author of a new book titled Trumponomics, Inside the America First Plan to Get Our Economy Back on Track. I asked him why, when polled, many Americans are not fans of the tax cut plan, although it did benefit them greatly.
I think the answer to your question is Republicans are just terrible salesmen. You know, other than Donald Trump, who's selling the tax cut message and connecting the dots between the tax cut and the strong economy? Not many. And so, you know, all they hear, all the public hears is tax cut for the rich, tax cut for the rich. And, you know, Democrats have won out on the messaging. But when in terms of the actual reality of what's happened, you know, Americans feel very good about the direction of the economy, as well they should. This is the strongest economy we've had since the mid-80s when Ronald Reagan was president. And, you know, I saw the president a few days ago, and I said, you know, this is working better than we even when, you know, our laugher and I and you drew this up. And he just laughed. He said, Steve, you ain't seen nothing yet. So the best is yet to come. I keep reading these headlines in the papers. Oh, the economy's booming, but it's not going to last. I think the economy can stay strong like this for another couple of years.
And finally, back on this date in 1995, Cleveland Browns owner Art Modell announced that his team would be moving to Baltimore, citing conflicts with the city and a crumbling stadium. Cleveland was awarded an expansion franchise, though, in 1999. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! We're going to discuss the coming invasion of our southern border today. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Troops, next weekend is Veterans Day. I hope each of you are planning to celebrate this day. A family's attendance at a parade or other event is a great way to build patriotism into the next generation, and this is a real need. And do vote this Tuesday. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Get in my belly! Come on!
Halloween candy. That's what's up, Colonel. And now that I'm over the hill, it seems my self-control is starting to slip, and those Kit Kats and Twix bars just keep mysteriously landing in my area of operations. So I do the honorable thing. I set them free of their wrappers, and I give them a good home. Which brings me to my 12-year-old, Jordan. He wore his Civil Air Patrol ABUs, or Airman Battle Uniform, for Halloween, along with a matching tactical vest I got online. So he looked like a legit MP. And he even had kids at two different houses say, "Thank you for your service." Which was adorable, but made us laugh. Because he's only 12.
Thanks, Josh. We'll hear from Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby as he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel, he's grinning like a happy guy. What's up, Skip?
We've been in major production mode at the Coriel home the last couple of weeks. We've been canning apple juice, pear juice, and last night we did applesauce. And when I get home today, we're doing venison jerky.
That means one or two of the deer you met are going to participate, more or less?
Well, they were invited, yes. They're the guests of honor, actually.
That's cool. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to suggest that we'd better defend our border from the invasion coming from the south, or we'll all be really sorry. Alan Clark is a disabled Vietnam vet who worked for years as a senior levels at the VA and really understands and had PTSD. Then we're going to meet author Stephen Talty and discuss his book about an amazing combat rescue, Saving Bravo. Next, Walt Frick will tell us about the wonderful organization Veterans Airlift. They do awesome work today for veterans. And we'll review last week's Service Academy football games where Army won.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, next week, Veterans Day, we're going to start a new program, and I continue to need your help. On each show, we're going to honor a deceased military person, not the superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie. They don't have to have served in combat, but they do have to have served honorably, active duty, guard, or reserves. Here's how to nominate someone. Send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service. I'll read that on the show. If you send along a picture, we'll include that in our e-newsletter. Send the information to me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
The former commander of U.S. Army Europe, now retired, warned that it's very likely the U.S. will be at war with China in 15 years. General Ben Hodges said that European allies will have to do more to ensure their own defenses in face of a resurgent Russia, because America will need to focus more attention on defending its interests in the Pacific. Hodges spoke at the Warsaw Security Forum, a two-day gathering of leaders and military and political experts from Central Europe. Hodges said, quote, "The U.S. does not have the capacity to do everything it has to do in Europe and in the Pacific to deal with the Chinese threat." He's now a strategic expert with the Center for European Policy Analysis, a Washington-based research institute. Despite shifting geopolitical priorities, Hodges said our commitment to NATO remains unshakable. He said he is certain the Trump administration views Europe's security as a key U.S. interest, even though President Trump has sometimes questioned the Western military alliance's usefulness. Hodges said, quote, "So, you're going to see us continue to invest here in Europe. Continue to train, to practice rotational forces, as well as permanently assign forces for the eventuality that in 10 or 15 years, we're going to be having a fight in the Pacific." End quote. Hodges said that a recent near miss between a U.S. Navy destroyer and a Chinese warship in the disputed South China Sea was only one of the signs pointing to an increasingly tense relationship and increasing competition in all the different domains. Others, he said, are China's constant stealing of technology and how China is gaining control of infrastructure by funding projects in Africa and Europe. He said that in Europe, China owns over 10% of the ports.
The good general is right. While war is not inevitable, given that China is a dictatorship with a stated goal of world domination, it's a real possibility we'll have to fight them.
Army modernization officials are confident they can add even more range to our Precision Strike Missile, or PRSM, if we pull out of our Cold War-era missile treaty. But experts warn that such a move would increase the likelihood of a confrontation with Russia. President Trump recently said he has plans to exit the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, arguing that Russia already violates the agreement, which prohibits all conventional and nuclear ground launch missiles with a range of 500 to 1,000 kilometers. On the surface, the Army Long-Range Precision Fires Program, the service's top modernization priority, would benefit from pulling out of the INF treaty. Doing so would allow the service to extend the range of its PRSM well beyond the current treaty limits of 499 kilometers. The PRSM is designed to replace the Army Tactical Missile, which has a range of about 300 kilometers. The service plans to field the first versions of the PRSM in 2023. Colonel John Rafferty, director of Long-Range Precision Fires Cross-Functional Team, said recently, quote, "We are going to the limit of the INF treaty. If that changes, what we have begun to consider is would there be additional room for more range for the PRSM? The answer is yes," end quote. Scott Boston, defense analyst and Russia expert at the RAND Corporation, agrees that deterrence of Russian aggression in Europe is important, especially when it comes to counterfire and countering Russian air defenses. But lifting limits on weapons such as the new PRSM will only increase tensions with Russia.
Russia's been attacking our nation, including our elections, with electronic warfare. I have no problem freaking them out. Posing a threat is something we can and should do to remind them that there are consequences to their aggressive actions.
Late last month, the AG-600, the world's largest amphibious airplane, completed its first takeoff and landing on water at a reservoir in China. The plane, known as the Kunlong and developed independently by China, took off from the water and landed steadily after a 14-minute flight, according to China's state-owned Xinhua news agency. It has a range of up to 2,800 miles and a cruising speed of about 310 miles per hour, and it can fly for up to 12 hours. Its capabilities suggest that it will likely be used to further China's territorial ambitions in disputed areas like the South China Sea.
China continues to be a serious threat to our nation and world peace. We must continue to challenge them at every point when they act illegally.
The rival Koreas and the U.S.-led UN command finished removing firearms and troops from a jointly controlled area at a border village as part of agreements to reduce decades-long animosity on the Korean Peninsula. South Korea separately announced that its troops found what it believes are Korean War remains in another frontline area where they have been clearing landmines with North Korean soldiers. The rival Koreas plan their first-ever joint searches for war dead there after their demining work is done. Disarming the joint security area at the border village of Panmunjom and the joint searches are among a package of deals the Korea's defense ministers struck on the sidelines of their leaders' summit last month. Other steps include creating buffer zones along their land and sea boundaries and a no-fly zone above the border, as well as removing some of their frontline guard posts.
And that's the news. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk VA and PTSD with Alan Clark. At ease, troops, take a break. On Sunday, November 11 and Monday, November 12, 2018, each of Spartan Ash's retail stores in 8 states will offer an 11% discount to current members and veterans of the armed forces. All active duty, reserve, National Guard, and veterans who present proper identification at any Spartan Ash corporate-owned store on November 11 or November 12 will receive a discount as a token of our appreciation and respect.
At Spartan Ash, we are honored to show our appreciation to these men and women.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. You hear the sound of breaking glass at 2 a.m. What should you do? Many people get a flashlight to investigate, but that could get you killed. Get your firearm immediately. Take up a defensive position in your safe room, then call 911 and wait for the police to arrive. The police can do the job they were trained for, and you and your family can stay safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you.
To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you can continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Our nation is awaiting an invasion across our southern border. The president said he'd deploy our military to protect our border, and he's already authorized 800 more troops with maybe 5,000 more to go. The 7,000-plus immigrants headed our way may take a long time to get here. If they're walking, they'll be lucky to average 20 miles a day. Perhaps there are some trucks or trains that they'll use. This certainly depends on the money that's available to fund such transportation. There's clearly plenty of money to pay for their food and other necessities. The good thing about this invasion is that we know it's coming and we have time to prepare. We do need to address the question of open versus closed borders. Since we are a constitutional republic, which means a nation of laws, then we should follow the laws that we've had for generations. That is, we have closed borders, allowing in only those people we decide to allow in. Closed borders have been good for us. Indeed, virtually every nation in the world has them. Closed borders means that we can keep out people with contagious diseases, criminal records, loyalty to our enemies, smugglers, and others who would not only contribute positively, and others who would certainly not contribute positively to our nation. We normally allow in a certain number of legal immigrants who have skills that our nation needs or whose situation is so bad we allow them in as an act of charity. Generally, we want our immigrants to become Americans and to adopt our culture and values and to contribute to our nation's strength. The policy during the Obama years, which has somewhat continued today, allows illegal aliens into our nation despite any disease, drugs, or lack of declared desire to work or desire to become contributing citizens. Many, not all, become addicted to welfare, rarely contribute in anything, but become a drain on our nation at a time when our nation has a huge debt. Remember that President Obama doubled our national debt during his 8 years with little to show for it more than more people on welfare. We just can't afford more thousands of non-contributing people demanding more funds when we have homeless vets and Americans living in poverty. Don't we have to take care of Americans first? Most of the people in this invasion are young men who they say want jobs and work so they can send the money home to their families. Hey, if I were in a nation where I couldn't find a job, I'd likely do what they're doing. But we have no obligation to help them, especially when we have American citizens who we need to help. Think of our nation as your home. Is it okay for anyone to just come in your front door, sit down, make themselves at home, and have you feed them and give them a place to sleep indefinitely? And there are certainly people in that convoy who are terrorists or criminals or diseased who will hurt our nation. Why should they be allowed in violation of our laws? Hey, if they'll seek to enter our nation illegally, why do you think that they'll honor our laws once they get here? So, what are we going to do when that convoy arrives at our border? What they've done so far is to lead with women and children so that police and others won't try to stop them with force. I suggest we stop them, probably initially with something like tear gas that is released not on them, but when they're approaching, so they can see it and will have to decide to walk into it. While many may seek to cross together, many may spread out along the border and try as individuals or small groups. That's where our border patrol and military come in. We can use aircraft and drones and patrol vehicles, but we must stop them, not allow them 1 inch into our nation. The Posse Comitatus Act prohibits our military from acting against civilians in our nation. They are not citizens. They are attempting to infiltrate our nation's integrity. Would it be any different if they were ISIS members or a foreign army? And how do we know they're not? Our military can resist them with force if we need them to do so. Those who dislike borders are unwilling to address why tens of millions of people who choose to cross them in the first place, leaving their language, fluency, and native soil in great personal risk. Well, migration, for example, in the 1960s between China and Hong Kong, is usually a one-way street from the non-West to the West or Western nations. People walk, climb, swim, fly across borders, knowing that boundaries mark the difference between approaches to human existence, with one side perceived as more successful or inviting than the other. Western rules that promote greater likelihood of consensual government, religious tolerance, independent judiciary, free market capitalism, and the protection of private property continue to offer the individual a level of prosperity and personal security they rarely enjoy at home. As a result, migrants go westward, especially given that Western civilization is usually defined itself by culture, not race, and thus alone is willing to accept and integrate those of different races who wish to share its protocols. Borders are to countries what fences are to neighbors. They're means of demarcating something on one side is different from what lies on the other side. Borders amplify the innate human desire to own and protect property and physical space, which is impossible to do unless it's distinct and separate. Clearly delineated borders and their enforcement, either by walls and fences or security patrols, won't go away. Between friends, unfenced borders enhance friendship. Among the unfriendly, when fortified, they keep the peace. Why shouldn't the caravan disperse and legitimate asylum seekers try to get protection in Mexico long before they reach our borders? asked about Trump's tone on the caravan, Senator Kamala Harris made it sound as though it would be un-American to turn migrants away. She said, quote, "We're a country that, our strength has always been that we're a tolerant country. We are welcoming in particular to those who have fled harm." Is to test the worries about the border by citing a decline in illegal border crossings since the 2000s. But this misses the point. Our laws and rules have conspired to render the southern border almost null and void for the category of migration that's been growing at the fastest clip, families and minors from Central America. What migrants in the caravan understand is that if they get foot in the United States, they have a good chance of staying here. They can surrender to the Border Patrol and probably get a bus ticket to the interior, pending proceedings for which they may never show up. President Trump is correct that this is an insane way for a sovereign country to run its immigration policy. Republicans want to try to fix it by tightening the rules, while Democrats support the status quo. If Trump's opponents don't want more caravans on TV, then they should agree that the border should not be arbitrarily open to a swath of migrants from Central America and help do something about it. Instead, they cry foul when Trump points out the obvious deficiencies in the current systems and hope news organizations don't notice a group of thousands of people headed north to try to take advantage of our laxity. American citizens, this is our country. We have to decide who we let in and when, or it becomes a lawless mess. I trust we'll stop this invasion by any means necessary. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Colonel, I have a short one for you today. This coming week is the midterm elections. Yes, it's been 2 years since Donald Trump was elected president. Hard to believe how fast time flies. Let's honor our veterans and currently serving military members who have defended our rights by remembering to vote on Tuesday. Also, next weekend, on November 11th, is Veterans Day, when as a nation, we honor all who have served in the United States Armed Forces. It also coincides with Armistice Day and Remembrance Day, which are celebrated in other countries to mark the anniversary of the end of World War I on the 11th hour of the 11th month of 1918. I encourage you and your family to participate in a Veterans Day activity and help preserve the culture of honoring our veterans. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. You're an amazing guy. Army vet Alan Clark will discuss the VA and post-traumatic stress disorder, then we'll review the great book, Saving Bravo, with Stephen Talty. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for crunchies. Let's do 50, then stand at ease.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military, continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence. Classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's-granting public college in the South. The Citadel. Online. On your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
LuLaRoe is comfortable, affordable fashion for women, men, and kids. Sold by tens of thousands of small business owners across the U.S., including many military families. Founded by entrepreneurs seeking a career that allows more freedom to be at home with their families, LuLaRoe is sold at in-home pop-up parties and on social media VIP pages. Check out a sampling of the unique prints and patterns in dresses, tops, leggings, and skirts at LuLaRoe.com and follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest.
USA Radio News.
Millions of voters are heading to the polls today to select their representatives to the 116th Congress, with the balance of power in Washington hanging in the balance. All 435 seats in the House are up for grabs, along with 35 Senate races and 36 gubernatorial contests. I had a chance to catch up with these voters in Arizona.
And we went and had breakfast, went over the sample ballot, discussed who we were going to vote for, and just came on over. And we were surprised there were actually quite a lot of people here this morning, which was great to see.
I think it's going to be very close, so I think every vote counts.
The Supreme Court has decided unanimously that local governments with small workforces must comply with the federal law against age discrimination. The justices ruled in favor of two Arizona firefighters who claimed they were laid off because of their age. A new study out from the University of Texas Health Science Center believes having one energy drink can be linked to heart and nerve problems. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you.
To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to meet a fellow West Pointer, a combat vet, and a guy who spent a lot of time working for our Veterans Administration, including at the very senior level. Alan Clark knows the VA. So, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Alan.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you today.
Alan, let's start by talking about your time in Mother Army. Why did you decide to go to West Point? What did you do when you graduated?
Well, I was an Army brat living in occupied Japan after World War II and naturally collected Army patches, found one day, asked my dad what it was. He said, that's West Point. I said, what do they do? He says, they train officers for the U.S. Army. I was on my way. I was motivated. I'd noticed different ones around the base that he said were Academy graduates, and, man, I was ready to go. I worked very hard the rest of my schooling to be sure I was prepared.
And apparently it worked.
It did.
Back in our day, we were all engineering majors, so I don't have to ask you about that. What branch did you go and what did you do when you got out?
Well, I was originally a combat engineer, Corps of Engineers, you know, when we had just five combat arms that were commissioning branches. Very quickly, within a couple of years, my first wife decided that she didn't want to be an Army wife. So I had to make different plans, either plan on retiring, period, or trying to salvage my military career. And I tried to salvage it by transferring to military intelligence. And that didn't work either once it happened. So I was on my way for a resignation to become secure. But knowing I could not resign without going to Nam, I volunteered for Vietnam service without telling her.
I take it that didn't go over too well, but you're still alive, so something worked right.
Well, it took 25 years for her to forgive me.
Well, the issue is that she did, huh?
She did. Well, it was a spiritual deal that had her forgive me back in the early 90s.
Well, I believe real world is a spirit world. When you get something accomplished there, it's done, generally speaking.
That's the real world. That's for sure.
So you got out. What'd you do then?
Once you volunteer for a war zone, you're going to go.
Oh, yeah.
So I was transferred to Vietnam as a military intelligence officer. My original assignment was with a military intelligence detachment at Nha Trang, which is the Riviera of South Vietnam on the coast. And I was assigned as a prisoner interrogator. That's what I'd been trained as, but there were no prisoners to interrogate, so I really didn't have that much to do. I met a Special Forces Lieutenant Colonel who was in charge of the Central Highlands area of about 30 Special Forces, as we called it, A camps back then. And he said, well, if I transfer over, he will make me an S2, which is the intelligence officer of one of the what was then the B teams, which are kind of like companies today, I believe, in the Green Berets. So I transferred over, but it didn't happen because they put me in a clandestine unit that I was not told about for about 2 weeks before somebody told me what my actual mission was.
So you weren't, it was one of those things, if I tell you, I'll have to kill you kind of things. And then finally they did have to tell you because they wanted you to do the work, huh?
Well, it was the initiation of a clandestine unit to collect intelligence against Cambodia, which at the time was a privileged sanctuary. It was supposedly neutral, but Prince Sihanouk, the chief of state, allowed the communists to come down the Ho Chi Minh Trail and set bases of operation just inside the Cambodian border to come across and attack us and then go back to their privileged area, which were safe because we would not follow them into Cambodia. So we wanted to collect intelligence on those areas. And so my unit was set up to do that.
So to say that you had a slightly confidential type of job would be an understatement.
Oh, by all means. Yeah, it's what's called a unilateral operation. We did not collaborate with South Vietnamese Army. It was confined to just U.S. people in the Green Berets to do the operation.
Okay, and presumably you do that for a year. Were you personally involved in combat?
No, I was not. For 10 months, I had some very interesting assignments in this post. For 1 month, I was assigned to debrief by interviews a Cambodian officer who had defected to the friendly lines, to the Allies in South Vietnam. So we got what's called operational intelligence on him. He was a very interesting fellow. He spoke seven languages, and he'd been trained at Trice Lumumba University, which is the school for revolutionaries in Moscow, to send people all over the world. So I did that for a month, and then I lived with Cambodian anti-communist young men for 3 months to attempt to have two infiltration missions by a helicopter flotilla to get them across the border to spy on the enemy. That didn't work. Impenetrable jungle. My third assignment was at the camp at which I was wounded in June of 1967, my 11th month of my tour of duty.
Okay, so you did that. You came back to the United States. Your wound was pretty severe, wasn't it?
Well, at that Special Forces A camp, my third assignment in that detachment B-57, I was there recruiting agents to go into the enemy territory again for spying. And a regular North Vietnamese Army combat tie-in attacked our camp June 17, 1967. Heavy mortar and rocket barrage. I was out in the open and was attempting to get counter-battery fire on the enemy positions and also get flares in the air for an expected ground attack, which did not happen. And in the course of that action by me, one of those rounds hit to my left rear and took my left leg off below the knee completely and totally and immediately on my stomach. The right leg was broken in five places.
But other than that, you're okay, right?
Yeah, right.
So obviously at that point, you were going to be evacuated and come back to the States and go through a lot of rehab.
And I was, yeah, for 15 months of rehab, including 14 weeks in a closed psychiatric ward because I had had what would later have been termed post-traumatic stress disorder. But in 1967, that was not on the books for psychiatric diagnoses, but that's what it ended up becoming, where I had to get straightened out, stabilized, and went on psychiatric drugs, medications, and psychiatrists for 7 or 8 years after that.
How did that work, Alan?
Well, I always was kind of scared because I'd had that break, and I felt small, not just physically, but felt small psychologically. And I think that's what happens to those of us that get wounded severely. We're scared about what we're going to do with our life, how we're going to make a living, how we're going to take care of our family. So all the totality of all of those factors entered me and were part of the process that I had to undergo to get stable again. My first job after graduate school, where I went to SMU for an MBA, was with Ross Perot as a personal financial assistant to him, reporting directly to him. He was a presidential candidate a couple times later, but at that time he was a very successful entrepreneur. But I had another breakdown because I pushed myself too much. I had to be hospitalized, and I had to leave the employment with Ross Perot's company.
Okay, so like most people, you just tried your best to get on with life, to make success, and like a lot of people in that situation, you didn't realize how deep the wounds were. Is that a fair summary?
Well, that's true. And, you know, I had the demons that I dealt with were sadness and anger because of the loss of my legs and what I was going to have to do and what it took to then have no mobility that I'd had before, you know, to play tennis and to be athletic and to run and so forth as a young officer. But everyone that goes to war doesn't, even if they get modestly wounded, if they're subjected to the improvised explosive devices today with the ambushes and so forth, or being a prisoner of war, or being someone that works in the frontline hospitals or back in the hospitals and puts up with the surgeries that they witness on the staffs and clinical people, but we all have our demons to deal with, and we all suffer in some way, modestly or majorly, with post-traumatic stress from combat
situations. Indeed we do. And there's more to discuss about post-traumatic stress and the VA, and Alan's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gilliman, Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. So take a break, stay in the area. Alan and I will be right back.
Thirty-six days after landing in one of the world's most dangerous places, U.S. Marine Corporal Jake Schick's life changed forever.
Yeah, I was severely wounded in Iraq, conducted combat operations in the Sunni Triangle in 2004.
His Humvee hit a landmine. Within 2 days, he was back in the United States for the first of nearly 50 surgeries.
Once I got back here, my real battle started.
Jake lost a leg and sustained traumatic brain injury. He spent 18 months in hospitals with family right beside him.
You need your family. You need your support system. You know, you need people like Fisher House.
Fisher House. It's a home away from home for families of wounded warriors and veterans receiving treatment at no cost to families.
Just very thankful to Fisher House for what they did for my family that entire time and for the things they continue to do.
You can help by making Fisher House your charity of choice on your CFC pledge form.
Fisher House, they were always there, so that was cool.
The CFC, Fisher House, and you. Find out how you can make a difference at fisherhouse.org.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll continue our conversation with Army veteran Alan Clark. Alan, we were talking about post-traumatic stress, and we'll come back to that, but you worked for quite a while at the VA, I think 13, 15 years, something like that?
That's correct, yes. I started at the VA, President Ronald Reagan's selection and choice to be the number two man at the VA when it was in administration. I would have been the deputy administrator. The top man, I had a very quick political and personal challenge with, and I didn't feel comfortable uprooting my family and moving to Washington, so I stopped the process, came back to Texas, and was back here for 8 years before 1989, when I'd worked consistently and very heavily for the campaigns of Reagan and Bush and with the veteran community, and I was selected and confirmed by the President George H.W. Bush administration in the Senate as Assistant Secretary, Veterans Liaison and Program Coordination. That was my first presidential appointment, senatorial confirmation, in which I worked at the VA.
Okay, what did you do there specifically?
Okay, much of what I did related to being liaison to all the variety of veteran organizations and what we call the Veteran Service Organization, which are the ones that have the opportunity and the privilege of representing veterans who have claims for injury and different things related to their service after they get out. So I was the liaison for them, kind of their mouthpiece within the VA to try to accomplish purposes that they needed. And I did a lot of traveling around the country, doing public speaking at Veteran Service Organization reunions and meetings and conventions and so forth. And then the second presidential appointment was to run the National Cemetery System for the last 18 months of the President George H.W. Bush administration. At the time, there were 115 national cemeteries. I visited 85 of those when I had that tour of duty.
So you know it pretty well. My observation about the VA today, I'd like you to give me your opinion, is there was a period when there was a serious problem with the VA, a lot of it at the very highest levels. Through that period, though, there were some people who should have been fired who weren't. And there were some people who did really good job for veterans. We don't ever want to take that away. But it appears to me that the corner has been turned, that the current VA secretary has both the will and the support from Congress and the president to start making changes for the improvement, and he's already started. Is that a fair assessment from your perspective?
I would say so. I think that the VA becoming a cabinet department, as it was in 1989, under the George H.W. Bush administration, put it in a special place of visibility and budgetary operation and opportunity to get the money that's needed. And it is a very important service to veterans in this country who have been wounded in combat and or get sick when they get older, whatever the cases may be, and all the things related to our benefits, medical care, cemeteries, home mortgage loans, you name it. There are just so many things that the VA does for us. The issue of whether they're always efficient, that remains to be seen, but no business is always efficient either. But there are so many wonderful things that our country, in its generosity of its citizens, through the taxes they pay and are allocated to the VA, do an amazing amount of services for the veterans of this country. And there are many, many dedicated people at the VA. They're going to have their problems, and they've had their problems, but I think that the current secretary that's been confirmed has the support of the president, and I'm not sure totally how well he's doing his job. I've never met him, and I don't know personally anything about him, but it seems to me that the VA is moving along, progressing.
Well, that's the goal. Ain't nobody perfect, and there's no such thing as a totally efficient big bureaucracy. So that's good. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the VA with Alan Clark. Alan, I want to go back to post-traumatic stress. That's something that has been called or ignored by different things, shell shock and all kind of stuff. But today, it's a real issue. And it's an issue not just for the veterans who are experiencing it, but for their families too, isn't it?
Oh, by all means. Actually, historically, in the Civil War, people had the issues that you always have during wartime. It was called condition of the heart. It's had a variety of names. 1979, it was officially stated as post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, once again, I believe all of us that have been under fire and have been in war, and just the zone even, have post-traumatic stress of a different variety. Whether or not it becomes a D with the disorder, with dysfunctionality in life, coming back, being so affected by what we saw and what we did and what we didn't do in combat, the things that happened, guilt complex because somebody else got killed in our place or killed next to us or whatever the case may be, or suffering the attacks, the bombardments, the friends being killed, et cetera. All of these things leave us when we come back with certain issues. Now, not everybody comes back with post-traumatic stress, much less disorder. If we become dysfunctional, begin to have trouble with our marriages, multiple marriages, go off on drugs, go off on alcohol to dull our senses, to have forgetting of what happened to us, then it becomes the disorder, the dysfunctionality, and it becomes what you call compensable, where we get compensation to overcome the challenges that we had from the war.
Well, that certainly makes sense. And if a soldier comes back with that, a guy, his wife and his kids are suffering too because their dad, or if it was mother, the other side, that has to affect the life of the children. And therefore, the fact that we're doing all we can to help them is hypercritical, because it's not just for the veteran. It's for the whole family that we're,
exactly,
we're helping.
Exactly. And if you're very severely wounded, for instance, those that have spinal cord injuries or traumatic brain injury, they have to have tremendous support from the family and sometimes full-time caregivers to take care of them because they're not operational anymore in the regular world and the activities of daily living.
Well, that's a huge, huge point. Alan, we're about out of time. Take a minute or so and sum up the key issues you'd like us to remember about post-traumatic stress.
Well, for me, my healing from post-traumatic stress, which occurred about 40 years ago after 7 or 8 years of medication psychiatrist, came from my faith as a Christian. I was able to understand the big picture of our being young patriots going off to fight our wars, but coming back, and it's really spiritual injury that we face. And so I was able to get a grip on my spiritual life and be able to understand and recognize that I was a little pawn in a great big chessboard game that was with the bishops and the kings and the queens and everybody behind the scenes with me up at the front lines. And I had to grasp all of that and understand that I could, in fact, heal and not be mad at God as I had been at one time and be able to cope with life again. And so that's what I have done, but it's only through my personal religious and spiritual faith that it's been accomplished. And that's what I urge people with post-traumatic stress issues or with the D added to get into their faith and seriously learn about their faith and follow it and believe that God wants to heal them.
Alan, incredibly well said. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. I'm proud to call you friend.
Well, likewise. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity, and I wish you the very best.
Here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and this week we get to honor two fine troops. Two soldiers from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, helped to lead the way for American athletes in this year's Invictus Games. First Sergeant Jared Collins of the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center and School and Sergeant First Class Brant Ireland of the 3rd Special Forces Group have each earned medals at the International Games held this year in Sydney, Australia. Collins also has a chance to earn more medals in upcoming track events. The two soldiers are representing our military along with about 70 other athletes. The Invictus Games include more than 550 wounded, ill, and injured service members from 18 allied nations who have been competing in 11 adaptive sports, including archery, rowing, powerlifting, cycling, sitting volleyball, wheelchair basketball, and sailing. Ireland is co-captain of Team USA and has already earned 3 medals, 2 silver medals for cycling, and a bronze medal for wheelchair rugby. He also competed in rowing. Collins competed along with Ireland on the rugby team, which defeated France in the bronze medal matches. He's scheduled to take part in 4 different track events, including the finals for the 1,500-meter and 400-meter races. Collins is a Special Forces medic who opted to have his left leg amputated below the knee in 2014 after years of battling combat injuries suffered while serving with the 7th Special Forces Group. He serves with the Special Warfare Medical Group at Fort Bragg. Ireland lost his left leg following injuries in Afghanistan in 2013. The Invictus Games were founded in 2014 by the United Kingdom's Prince Harry following a 2013 visit to the U.S. military's Warrior Games. Invictus, officials said, means unconquered, and the games are meant to be a highlight of how sports can help those suffering from injuries and illness. So, stand tall, First Sergeant Collins and Sergeant First Class Ireland, Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour with Stephen Talley discussing his amazing book on combat rescue, Saving Bravo. Naturally, we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games. And, of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's beautiful outside. Go out and run a couple of miles of wind sprints. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook. Why would a U.S. soldier in combat be jailed for shooting the enemy? I mean, isn't that why we send our troops into combat? Yet a number of our troops are or have been in military prison for murder for killing our enemies. The problem is confusing rules of engagement and some of our leaders who lack the courage to stand up for their troops. United American Patriots stands up for these troops. Check UnitedPatriots.org. That's UnitedPatriots.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Pipe bomb suspect Cesar Sayak made his first appearance in a federal court in Manhattan today. Sayak will be held without bond and faces 50 years in prison if convicted. Sayak's lawyers have questioned the evidence in the case. As voters head to the polls today, we're hearing about long lines, malfunctioning machines, and polling places not being ready or properly staffed. After initially predicting a blue wave, some analysts have backed off those expectations. Former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta joined Fox News and has some advice for the Democrats.
The Democrats do take control of the House. I think it would behoove them to try to see if there are not some areas that they can work out some compromises with the president in order to get some things done. I think that's what the American people really want.
Jury selection resumed today in the trial of Mexican drug lord El Chapo. A federal judge in New York dismissed 17 potential jurors. This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 888-998-7225. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com.
Why was a Michigan political reporter fired just before Election Day? USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes explains why.
The reporter for the Huron Daily Tribune in Lansing, Michigan, fired after she makes comments about a Senate candidate and they go viral. It seems Brenda Battle had called Senate hopeful John James' office asking for an interview. Battle apparently believed she had hung up the phone when she was finished, but instead she was heard on the other end calling James an expletive and ranting about how horrible it would be if he unseated the Democratic incumbent Senator Debbie Stabenow. She lost her job, and it appears her LinkedIn and Facebook pages have both since disappeared. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Utah Mayor and Army National Guard Major Brent Taylor was killed in Afghanistan on Saturday. He was overseas protecting Afghan people who were voting. His wife said it was only fitting he arrived back.